the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Teresa of Avila, also called Saint Teresa of Jesus, was born on March 28, 1515 in Spain. The life of Saint Teresa of Jesus is a life full of light, joy, and love. It is a beautiful life because we see in her a life full of God. She overflowed in doing good and brightening the lives of others. She had a very cheerful and friendly character, and everyone felt good around her. She was not a sad saint, quite the opposite. She was a saint who shared joy, who did not allow anyone to speak ill of anyone in her presence, and she always forgave injuries. The soul is the part of the human being that gives life to the body, but this soul can be full or empty of God. For this reason, St. Paul says that the human being has a spirit, a soul, and a body, referring to the complete man, who not only has a soul and a body, but also a spirit, that is, the living presence of God in the soul. St. Teresa of Jesus speaks of this from personal experience. She says, "Once, while I was in prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ showed me, by a strange way of intellectual vision, I saw the Holy Trinity, and to the soul came a power that ruled the whole earth. Jesus also showed me how a soul that is in sin has the person completely tied up, with his eyes covered, that although the person wants to see, he cannot see, walk, or hear, because he is in great darkness. These souls made me so sorry and encouraged me to do any work for them that would be light for me, but could possibly free one." Saint Teresa of Avila had wished to see the beauty of a soul that is in grace. Having this desire, God, who arranges things at his opportunities, gives this wish to Saint Teresa by showing her a most beautiful crystal globe, like a castle with seven dwellings. And in the seventh, which was in the center, is the King of Glory with a very great brilliance, illustrating and beautifying those dwellings up to the limits of the castle. The more the dwellings get to the center, the more these dwellings participated with this light. This light didn't pass beyond the limits of the castle, and outside of it, everything was darkness and filth, toads and snakes and other poisonous animals. While Saint Teresa of Jesus was in awe of this beauty, which with the grace of God dwells in souls, suddenly the light disappeared. And with the King of Glory leaving that dwelling place, the crystal turns into darkness, and it was ugly as coal and with an insufferable stench and the poisonous things. Saint Teresa of Avila wanted this vision to be seen by all men, because it seemed to Saint Teresa that none of the mortals who saw that beauty and splendor of grace, which is lost by sin, and suddenly changes into a state of so much ugliness and misery, would possibly dare to offend God. This vision that Saint Teresa of Jesus had, she wanted to share to all men. She tells us, "God allowed me to understand that a soul in mortal sin is covered with a great and a very black fog, and thus our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be seen, although he is always present giving himself to us. I saw how well hell is deserved for a single mortal sin, because it cannot be understood how grave it is to do it before such a great majesty. I know of a person," referring to herself, "whom our Lord wanted to show how a soul was transformed when it sinned mortally. That person thought if men understand this, it would not be possible for any of them to sin. That person said that she had taken two things away from the mercy that God gave to her. One was a great fear of offending him, and thus she was always begging him not to let her fall, seeing such terrible damage. The second, a mirror for humility, looking at how a good thing that we do, it didn't come from us, but from God." Sister Isabel de Santo Domingo affirms that there was nothing for Saint Teresa of Avila that caused her more pain than seeing or knowing that someone had committed a mortal sin. And it was in this way that she sometimes spoke to this witness, shedding tears with such great sorrow that these great offenses were made to our Lord. The saint herself refers to a specific case. "Arriving once to receive communion, I saw two demons with the eyes of the soul, clearer than the eyes of the body, with a very abominable figure. It seems to me that the horns surrounded the throat of the poor priest, and I saw my Lord with majesty in those hands, in the host that he was going to give me. And I understood that that soul was in mortal sin. It gave me such great distress that I do not know how I was able to receive communion. And I was left in great fear, seeing the evil that was in that soul. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself told me to pray for him. And God allowed this so I can understand the strength of the words of consecration of the Holy Host, and how God does not cease to be there, no matter how bad is the priest who says these words. Also to see how great is his goodness, because Jesus places himself in the hands of his enemy for the good of me and the good of all. I understood how much more obliged the priests are to be good than others, and how bad it is to take this blessed sacrament unworthily. Be blessed forever and ever. On the contrary, how wonderful it is to live in God's grace and die in his hands. St. Teresa of Avila tells us, "It happened while I was here in Toledo giving company to a sister who was about to die. Once the sacraments were received and after the extreme unction had been given, her joy and contentment was so great that it was possible to speak to her like the saints, like all of us who have devotion. Shortly before she died, I went before the Blessed Sacrament to beg the Lord to give her a good death, and I saw His Majesty in the middle of the head of the bed. His arms were somewhat open, as if He was protecting her, and He said to me, 'That you be sure that all the nuns who died in these monasteries, your Jesus Christ would protect them, and that they were not afraid of temptations at the time of death.' After a little while, the sister told me, 'Oh, Mother, what great things I have to see.' So she died like an angel." She went to confession frequently to have the cleanest possible soul to come worthily to receive the Eucharistic Jesus. On February 2, 1602, a priest, by order of the Superior General, wrote a report about St. Teresa that said, "The devotion she had to the Eucharistic Jesus and to confession was very particular, and thus she tried to receive communion very often. And when she could not receive communion, she had to confess, in order not to lose that gain that God gave her through the sacraments. And thus I was moved with particular devotion to give her communion or to confess her, to see the spirit and devotion with which she did it. One day, when there was no comfort to receive communion, because she was in the home of a lay person, she asked me to hear her confession, and I replied, 'Jesus, Mother Mary, don't kill me. I don't know what you want to confess, because I don't know anything in you to absolve.' St. Teresa of Avila, with a grave and humble demeanor, replied, 'My Father, God communicates a particular grace to us in His sacraments through His most reverend lordships, who are His ministers. Do not deny me so much good, because you lose nothing, but rather win, by forgiving sins and administering Holy Communion with dignity.'" Sister Isabel de Santo Domingo declared in the beatification process of St. Teresa of Avila in the year 1610, "She was so careful in preparing herself to receive Holy Communion that, not content with the examination of conscience she made, she used to ask this witness and other religious if perhaps they had seen in her something that was her fault or imperfection, to confess first and do penance for it before receiving Holy Communion." Something very important to St. Teresa of Avila was that in her convent there were good confessors, because the spiritual progress of her nuns could depend a lot on the good confessors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.